Now, with the latest from the world of technology, this is the Tech Guide Podcast with Stephen Fenwick.
Lots to talk about.
Tech Guide.
It's a very well-rounded product, combines great design, great technology, lots of excellent features.
Tech Guide.
This is why Samsung has seen a huge surge, why their profits are up.
Keeping you updated and educated, this is the Tech Guide Podcast.
This is not an ultrabook. If you're looking for something small, slim and lightweight, then you need to look elsewhere.
Tech Guide.
Probably one of the most impressive little devices I've seen in quite a while.
Now, from the studios of techguide.com.au, Stephen Fenwick.
Hello and welcome to Tech Guide episode 104, the podcast that keeps you updated and educated about the latest consumer technology. It's great to have your company for the next 30 minutes. Thanks for listening and thanks for downloading. Stephen Fenwick is my name and I'm the editor of techguide.com.au. On this week's show, we're going to talk about a scientific breakthrough that can make your devices run for weeks on a single charge, the internet security threat that can cross platforms, and will they or won't they? Is Apple about to release a larger screen iPhone? In the Tech Guide reviews, we're going to talk about the new possibilities of lighting and power in our homes. We had a tour of the HPM Legrand factory, the Samsung Galaxy S Tab S pricing, and the Moshi Sync for on-the-go travellers. And we'll bring it home with the Tech Guide Help Desk, and it's all brought to you by Netgear, Australia's number one brand of home Wi-Fi products. A huge show to get through, so let's dive straight in. How many of you have complained about your smartphone's battery life or your laptop running out of power? It's a common frustration for anyone who uses devices. Well, there's some amazing news coming out of a university in the US, Vanderbilt University in Nashville, Tennessee. They claim that they've created a way for devices to store power and for that power to last for weeks. Now, they've been developing, their engineers have been developing various materials, including silicon, that can actually store a charge that will last for quite a while. Now, they've been working on this for quite a while, for many months now, and the latest development has been the ability to create certain materials that behave like a battery, that store and discharge energy, but not as fast a rate as a normal battery. Now, to give you an example of this, imagine having a laptop who's got the casing of which is the actual battery. It serves as the battery to power that device. Or an electric car powered by the energy stored in its chassis. So this is the sort of engineering and technology development going on at Vanderbilt University. Now, last year what they did is developed what they called a supercapacitor, which was made of silicon. Now, it was so small it could fit on a chip, which means it could fit inside a smartphone or a tablet. So the material arranges the electric ions in such a way that it creates order out of the ions rather than a chemical reaction taking place and this being destroyed quickly like a normal battery would. That's how a battery works. It's a chemical reaction and the battery then discharges those ions and that's where you need to be recharged. Well, these materials can assemble those charged ions on the surface. So instead of it being in disarray, there is order to it. Now, it sounds complicated, but I have created a link on my story on Tech Guide that gives you all the scientific background about this development. But it is exciting when you think about manufacturers now may have the opportunity to decide on how their device is built, what sort of materials they use to build it, so that it can be powered by that very material. I'll go back to the laptop example. The case, the laptop that it's made of, the casing is actually the battery, and it can store that power, those charges, for quite a long time. We're talking days and weeks because it has created that order to the electrical ions on the surface. Now, if that surface is the size of the chassis of your car, then even better. That's an even larger battery. If that surface is as big as the case on your laptop, then that too is quite a large surface. On the inside, though, what they had developed late last year, the silicon that was small enough to fit on a chip. Now, what they did, they coated that silicon with a layer of graphene. And what that helped it to do was to make that silicon surface a little bit more stable and a better medium to store that energy. But imagine having that kind of technology built inside a device, a smartphone, a tablet, a laptop, that can give you weeks and weeks of charge. Well, in the ways that the technology has been developing, the speed with which technology has been developing, all the features and all the screens and everything else is improving, or seems to be improving, but the battery is kind of running on the spot. The battery is still the issue that is struggling to keep up with the developments of our devices. This could be the breakthrough we've been looking for. If you want to read a little bit more about it, you can go to techguide.com.au, and there is a link to the Vanderbilt University site where all of this technology has been outlined. But it would be a revolutionary change if they brought it to the mass market. Hopefully, one day, from the lab to your device.
Tech Guide. This is Tech Guide with Stephen Fenwick.
Now, internet security is a battle that we constantly are fighting. We need to keep an eye on our mobile devices, our computers. We need to have security software to help protect us. There has to be mechanisms in place so that we are kept up with the latest version of our software and to help stay one step ahead of the cyber criminals out there. It is a constant cat and mouse game. Well, Trend Micro has uncovered an alarming new threat in their latest mobile threat report. And this is what they're calling a cross-platform threat. Literally a threat that can run from one device to another. So from your smartphone to your computer and possibly even back again. Now, this is a worry because you think about the cyber criminals' tactics here. Mobile devices are on the rise and rapidly increasing. Many people are taking up smartphones. They're using smartphones in their day-to-day life. It's got their personal information. They do things like banking and shopping. It's their life. Now, the cyber criminals see this as an opportunity. They see the more people that are acquiring and buying mobile devices, smartphones in particular, then that's a greater target for these hackers. So with that in mind, these cross-platform threats, very shrewd in their tactics here, and it gives them the ability to either target the mobile device or your PC, and in some cases both. Now, one example is called Androidos _USBattack.a. Now, it's quite a complicated name they've given it, but basically what it is, it can not only take information from your device, but once it's connected to your computer, so you connect your smartphone to your computer via USB, then it will download malware to your connected PC through the USB connection from your mobile. Now, in this particular instance, the only effect of that payload was that it would activate the microphone on your PC. So it was basically built to be a wiretapping device. But that malware could have quite easily been designed to be a lot more malicious and far more damaging and possibly even accessing information on your PC or on your mobile device. But there is another threat, and it's outlined on Tech Guide as well. It's called the TROJ. I don't know how to pronounce that, but it's droidpack.a, and it actually goes the other way. So imagine when you connect your smartphone to your computer, this threat would install malicious apps onto your Android device so that these apps would be installed through the computer because it's connected using a USB cable. Now, these apps would be installed, and they're mainly online banking apps, so designed to get into your bank account. Obviously, a financial goal here for the cyber criminals. So it is a very worrying trend. But Trend Micro, are saying that hackers are targeting not only smartphones and PCs, but also other things that smartphones can link to as well. Now, imagine your home automation system or appliances in your home. There are so many of these connections now. The Internet of Things is growing and growing. There are a lot more devices we can control using our smartphones. So hackers have the potential, if we're not careful, of infecting our very homes, of infecting our appliances, and possibly trying to find an information or installing Trojans, various bits of malware that can compromise us, not only for our identity and information, but also financially. It is a worry. Now, all this might sound alarming, and it sounds like the sky's falling and the world's ending, but cyber criminals are counting on those users who aren't vigilant, who aren't updating their software, who aren't installing apps to protect themselves. They are counting on, and there is unfortunately a large proportion of these users out there that don't take these steps to protect themselves, and they're the ones that are more likely to fall victim to this kind of threat. If you want to read more about that, you can do that at techguide.com.au. Well, there's been plenty of speculation ahead of the annual iPhone launch. We're expecting that around probably the September-October mark. And what the biggest expectation here is, the biggest rumor is the fact that Apple is likely to release a larger screen iPhone. It seems that Apple has resisted the urge and the trend that other smartphone manufacturers have followed, and that is by installing larger screens on their devices. Now, the average on an Android device, the latest batch anyway, the Galaxy S5, the HTC One M8, the Xperia Z2, and I could go on, is around about, the average size of the screen is around about 5 inches. And a lot of customers are being attracted to that larger, brighter screen. In fact, Telsyte, the tech analyst, did a study recently, and it did show that a lot of people are moving away for the very fact that the iPhone screen is not as large as those of the in the Android line. Now, there is, I think, one in ten people moving to Android larger screens are coming from an iPhone. So that's a worrying trend. If Apple don't move up to the larger screen, they face the possibility of losing even more market share. Now, Telsyte's research suggests that if Apple decides to go to the larger screen, to there's a rumor that they're going to have a 4.7-inch screen and a 5.5-inch screen. Now, the 5.5 would fall into what we call the phablet market. That's phone, tablet, so that quite a large screen. Now, Apple, if they do decide to go into that market, it would energize that category. Phablets have been around for quite a while. There are a number of devices, the Galaxy Note 3, the Sony Z Ultra. They've got 5.5, 6-inch screens that are also, these are also smartphone devices. So they take a SIM card. You make phone calls using these devices. Now, if Apple decide to play in this market, then Telsyte is saying that it would boom, it would grow in popularity, and people would obviously, seeing Apple do something like this would actually justify that. It would give that that market a lot more strength. But the 4.7-inch screen, which is also rumored to be released by Apple, would bring that closer to your typical Android screen size. There are a lot of people. One of the things that they did with this survey was talk to customers who were wanting to buy a new phone, but not a phone made by Apple. They were asked if Apple decided to make a larger screen phone, would that be considered? And a lot of them said, yes, it would. 40% said they would consider a larger screen iPhone if it was, in fact, released. So I think what this says, there are a lot of people, and I've heard a lot of feedback on my radio program with Chris Smith on 2GB Wednesdays. We have had a lot of callers who seem to be indicating there seems to be a groundswell away from the iPhone towards these larger screen Android devices. I've had a lot of questions of people asking, how do I transfer stuff from iPhone to Android? How do I move my stuff from this device to that? So there is a real mindset now among some users that they want to go bigger. They want a bigger screen. And frankly, the iPhone 5S and the 5C look quite small when compared to these larger, brighter screens. So I think Apple have a real opportunity here to not only win, to not only retain customers, but also win back some customers or win some new customers to the fold. Now, Apple's not the sort of company that you can underestimate. You do that at your peril. I think we're going to see something pretty special when they decide to release their new devices later in the year. And I think if all rumors are correct, we will be seeing a larger screen iPhone. You can read more about that survey at techguide.com.au.
Keeping you updated and educated. This is Tech Guide with Stephen Finney.
Tech Guide.
The Tech Guide podcast is proudly supported by Netgear, Australia's number one Wi-Fi brand. If there's anything to do with Wi-Fi, Netgear has a product for you, from modems, from range extenders, from NAS drives, network attached storage drives. Netgear has it covered. One of their latest products is their new high-powered Wi-Fi range extender, the AC1200, model number EX6200. Now you can power up your home network with Netgear's new high-powered Wi-Fi range extender. The EX6200 can push Wi-Fi to every corner of your home with the new 802.11ac range extender. The new 802.11ac technology has beamforming abilities, so it can find your devices and lock onto them in your network. Also has greater range. Perfect for your home theater setup as well, because you can connect five wired devices to the gigabit Ethernet ports on the back of the EX6200 and stream video content from USB hard drives. There's a USB 3 port on the front of this product as well, so imagine being able to stream that throughout your home network. And with a powerful dual-core processor on board and high-power amplifiers, you'll have Wi-Fi wherever you want it throughout your home. We're using tablets, smartphones, and laptops in various parts of our home, and this can help keep all of your home within range of your network. Get the EX6200, the fastest AC Wi-Fi range extender. It's available now from Netgear, and you can check it out at www.netgear.com.au/max Wi-Fi.
Tech Guide.
Now, a Tech Guide review with Stephen Finney.
Tech Guide.
We're going to kick off the Tech Guide review with something a little different. We're talking about not a product as such, but something that we all have and that we all need and we will continue to need in the future. And that is light. And is also, of course, electricity. Now, how we control our light, how we use our light, and how we can arrange our power in our home is something that can open up a world of possibility for users, not only to make their life a little easier, it can also help save them money, but it also is an interesting look at how you can improve what is existing in your home. Now, we were lucky enough to go out to HPM Legrand, to their factory out in Preston's in the outer suburbs of Sydney, and pleasantly surprised to find out that they make the bulk of their products at that very factory right here in Australia. HPM is a very proud Australian company, short for Herman Plastic Moulding. It was started up in 1938 in the Sydney inner city suburb of Surry Hills. It was purchased by Legrand, a French company. The first approach by that company, funny enough, was actually blocked by the then Prime Minister Paul Keating for fear that this Australian company would be lost. But that partnership was eventually approved in the years ahead. But HPM Legrand still remains very much an Australian company, and as I said, has a factory that produces a lot of their wall switches and other devices, other products, in the outer suburbs of Sydney. Now, what are the possibilities? HPM, they gave me a bit of a crash course in some of the things that consumers should be looking at. These include LED lighting, the switches in your home, the power points in your home as well. Let's start with LED lighting. Well, this was a real eye-opener for me, because we've heard of all these new CFLs, you know, those little, the new long life, environmentally friendly bulbs. They're pretty good, but LED lighting is actually more efficient, can save you a lot more money. So this is a real booming area of the business for HPM Legrand. They're doing a lot of work in the downlight business. So there's a lot of downlights that are halogen downlights. I've got a few here in my home and in the Tech Guide studio. But these burn at about 60 watts, and they use, if you've got, you don't just have one downlight, you normally have 20 downlights in a room sometimes, and each of these are burning quite a bit of power at 60 watts. That does add up, and it is reflected on your bill. I know it does on mine. Well, imagine replacing all those lights with LED lights. Now, not only are you going to maintain or equal or even exceed the brightness of the old halogen downlights, but you are also reducing the output. Now, the power usage is only about 10 watts. Now, compare that to 60, you're down to 10. And the beauty of LED downlights, too, is that they're dimmable with the right switch, with the right switches. So you're not only saving it at the full brightness, but if you can turn that brightness even further down, then you're saving even more money. Now, an LED light can last up to 50,000 hours. That's compared with 5,000 hours for your normal halogens or CFLs. That's the compact fluorescent lights. The normal incandescent globes, the globes that are now being phased out, they only lasted about 1,000 hours. So that gives you some idea on how good LED lighting can be in your home. Moving along to switches. Now, the humble switch hasn't really changed a lot in the last few years, the last few decades, as a matter of fact. Well, there are a lot of possibilities now with the new switches that HPM Legrand can create. These include touch switches. These include push-button switches. But what I like, there is a range that I saw that has a tiny light. They're round switches that are just press in, press out, and they have a tiny light that shines in the corner of each of the buttons. So what this allows you to do is actually, when you're trying to find the switch in the dark, well, there's a light there, so you can actually find it. You can see all the switches quite clearly, even in a dark room, so you know exactly where to hit. No more feeling around the wall and leaving dirty smudges and stains on your walls that can build up. Well, with these new switches, these tiny lights are your guiding lights towards your switch. Now, moving on to power points. Now, one really interesting new product by HPM Legrand are USB power points. Now, imagine the regular power point, as you know, has got two power points, two switches, and that's it. And what we normally do, we crowd these switches with double adapters because we need to fit a phone charger, a tablet charger. We need to fit our normal, the plug for the toaster, for the vacuum cleaner, and all these things. Well, imagine having a power point with two USB ports on the plate as well. These are one of the products that HPM Legrand has developed. Now, what happens now, rather than you having to crowd that charger for your smartphone or your tablet or your gaming device or your camera or your GPS device, all you need is the cable. So you can run, for example, a cable from your smartphone into the USB port on that PowerPoint, and it will charge your phone. There's a 2.4 amp charger battery in the back there, so it's the power source on the back of that powering that USB connection, 2.4 amps. So that'll even charge an iPad. It won't charge it maybe as quickly as the dedicated charger, because I think actually now that in the PowerPoint's 2.1 and the iPad needs 2.4, so the PowerPoint can charge it, maybe not as quickly, but it can still charge it. But now what we're finding is that rather than you having all these double adapters, you can just put your smartphones and tablets into the USB ports. Just needs a cable, so the actual power points can be left aside for your vacuum cleaner, for your toaster, for other appliances, your digital radio, whatever you need to plug in, your laptop charger. They can be reserved for those sorts of products. So very exciting. If you wanted to go ahead and do that now, I think these are the power points are, I think, about $70-$80. But imagine the convenience they're going to offer. Same too with the LED lights. Of course, there is a cost to those. They need a new driver, so not just the globe needs to be replaced. You need all these new drivers in the ceiling as well. But if you take that power consideration, that the power saving into consideration, they're going to pay themselves off very, very quickly. You want to read more about these new electricity and lighting innovations from HPM Legrand? You can do that at techguide.com.au. Well, the Samsung Galaxy Tab S. Now, this was the tablet that we actually attended the New York, the global launch in New York. It was at Madison Square Garden, to be precise. That will be in stores on July 14, which is next week. So, exciting news if you're looking at this new high-quality tablet. Now, we've already had a hands-on of this device. It's got a Super AMOLED screen with a resolution of 2560 by 1600. Truly, truly impressive. This high quality output's great for viewing content. That's what Samsung wanted to achieve, was a better way of viewing your content on the go. Their research found that the main use of tablets was for consuming content, videos, TV shows, movies on the go. So they decided to put all their efforts into this brand new screen, and it is a winner. The super dazzling, super AMOLED display, it is really sharp. It's the sort of thing that you can only appreciate once you get this device in your hands. Speaking of getting it in your hands, you'll also find out when you do that how thin the device is. It's only 6.6 millimeters thick and weighs just 298 grams for the 8.4 inch, 467 grams at 10.5 inch. There are two models, ladies and gentlemen, 8.4, 10.5, and they've also announced the pricing. 8.4 inch starts, Wi-Fi only, 16 gig, $479. Pretty competitive pricing if you ask me. The 10.5, Wi-Fi 16 gig, $599. Now add $150 if you want the 4G connection, so that takes it up to the top of the line, 10.5 inch Wi-Fi plus 4G with 16 gig. That's $749. I've listed all the pricing for these devices, the tablet, the Galaxy Tab S devices, at techguide.com.au.
Tech Guide. This is Tech Guide with Stephen Finnick.
Now, if you're like me, you're on the move, you use your devices on the go, you need chargers, you need cables. If you're traveling, you need to swap out SIM cards and all these sorts of things. Well, imagine a product that can help you with all of those things. Well, Moshi have released just such a product. It's like they read my mind. This is the kind of product, if you're on the go mover user, using your laptops, using your phones, on the move, the Moshi Sync, and that's spelled X-Y-N-C, I'm assuming it's pronounced Sync, is the product for you. It's a pretty small device. It can fit in your pocket. It can even be clipped onto your bag, and if you've got a pretty large keyring, it may fit on that as well. It's about 7 centimeters long, about 3.5 centimeters wide, and designed to go anywhere with you. Now, what it's got on board, it's got a retractable USB plug. So you can, once you've put this out, the USB plug can then fit into your laptop, for example. And then what's built in also is a cable. There are two versions. There's one with the lightning cables for your iOS users, and there's also a model with a micro USB cable for all you Android users and Windows Phone users to use on the move. So you plug one end into your computer, one end into your device, and you'll get a charge, or one end to a charger and into your device, you're also getting a charge. But it doesn't end there. How many of you have traveled to other destinations and you need to swap out your SIM card? You may be on your travels, on a business trip, and you don't want to be using your SIM card in another country because it's going to cost an arm and a leg. So what do? You buy a SIM card for the country that you're in. Now, what you can do is actually detach the side of the Moshi Sync and actually it has a spot to store your SIM card. Your current SIM card, you might have an American SIM card that you use regularly or any other SIM card there. It's also got room to put the eject tool, you know, that little pin that you need to eject, say your iPhone SIM, and some Android devices need that ejection tool as well. I can never find mine. It's very hard to locate. Those tiny SIM cards, they could be anywhere. Well, now you can locate them all using the Moshi Sync, all in one neat package that can go with you anywhere. The device is available now, priced at $49.99. If you want to see what it looks like and read our full report, you can do that at techguide.com.au.
Now, answering all your tech questions, the Tech Guide Help Desk.
Now, here's a question I get asked fairly often enough for me to make it the subject of this week's Tech Guide Help Desk. And the question is, can I buy a smartphone overseas? And if I do, will it work here in Australia? Well, the answer is yes, and the answer is no. It depends on your device. It depends on your network. Now, if you're thinking of buying a device in another country, you need to know what network you're with. You need to know what frequencies this will support. Say, for example, you buy a device in Singapore or the US. Those devices are designed for those local networks. So you need to check that when you get that device home, it's going to connect to your 4G network. So you need to look on your network's website, find out their frequency for 4G. It'll tell you how many hertz that the network operates at. And you need then to make sure that the device is compatible with that 4G network. Often it would be compatible, but if you don't check and you bring it home and you're stuck on 3G or worse still, no connectivity whatsoever, you're going to be stuck with a very expensive piece of plastic. The other thing to consider is the warranty. Now, a lot of companies, and I think Samsung is one of these, they optimize their devices country by country. So Samsung Australia will support a device that was optimized for the Australian market. So bought here for this market. If you bring it in from another country or even another company, there's a lot of people who like to buy Samsung devices from sites like Mobi City, Kogan. These are what they consider to be grey imports. And therefore, if something does go wrong, Samsung will not honour the warranty. You'd have to go back to Kogan or Mobi City or whatever grey importer you bought that device from. Because if it's not optimized for Australian conditions, then it may not work at all. It may not work as advertised. There may be some features that were included in the Australian version that may not be working. So it's worthwhile checking all of those things out. So you don't want to be, if you're overseas, you want to buy a smartphone, do your homework, and hopefully when you get home, it'll all be working as it should be. And another thing to check on is that warranty. So look, the answer, as I said at the start, yes, you can, but there are instances, and depending on the device, that you can't. I had a listener on 2GB who also emailed me to say that he had a certain device, I think it was a Samsung device, that he imported or brought from Mobi City, and something went wrong. And it turns out that Samsung never introduced that model to Australia. So they considered that what they call a grey import. Something went wrong with it. And they said, look, we can't help you. You need to go back to the company you bought the device off. And hopefully they will honour the warranty and get your problem sorted out. So for the sake of saving a few bucks, it may not be worth it. But like I said, do your homework and it may work out. You're listening to Tech Guide. And that's the end of this week's show. It's great that you could be listening. You can read more about everything we've talked about at techguide.com.au. Special thanks to our sponsors, Netgear, the brand you can trust for all your Wi-Fi needs. Netgear is the company you need to stay connected. Thanks for listening. It's been great having your company once again. We look forward to you joining us again next week. So until then, stay safe and stay connected.